None of us have ever been angry about anything, have we? Mm-mm. None of us. So much so that you wanted to destroy your own things? Well, that's what confuses me about this story, is that Jesus was a Jew. And so he would have gone to the temple thousands of times by the time this story comes upon us. And so this was common, what he saw here at the temple. That this was normal. Like people selling doves and things and money changers being there, this was a normal part of Judaic history and law. And so for him to all of a sudden go in there and say, nope, not today, and starts overturning everything and throwing things in the air and creating a whip. And, you know, this story makes it sound as if this is just crazy nuts. And it is, to some degree. But I think it also reminds us of the humanity of Jesus. That Jesus, too, got angry. But I think it's also a reminder for us of the things in our lives which need to be overturned, which need to be removed, so that we can focus on what is important when you come to the temple. You know, we get stuck, so to speak, in our own lives. So let me ask you a question, and it's okay to answer me when I'm asking this question. How many of you come to, like, consciously thought about coming to church this morning? Or how many of you came out of habit? You come out of habit. You don't really think about it. You just know on Sunday morning this is where you go. I've always gone to church on Sunday morning, and I got to sit in my pew. And I got to find my spot in the choir seat. I got to have my choir seat. I got to have my where I normally am. This is just what I do. How many of you have a routine on every morning? You have to sort of take the same steps, do the same thing every morning. Yeah. I get up. I brush my teeth and my face. I turn off my alarms, my lights in my room. Sassy knows to get where we're going. I turn off the alarm. I open the back door. Out she goes. I go make coffee. That's my routine, like every day. And I got to make my shake, and I got to prep her food. These are the things. We all have those routines. Now, if I were to change any one of those things, and I'm sure many of you would agree, you change just one of those things and it completely throws you off for the rest of the day, the rest of the morning. The other day, for some reason, I decided to fix Sassy's food before I fixed my coffee. And it completely threw me off. I'm like, why am I standing here? I need my coffee first. I need my coffee first before I do anything else. Right? We all have those. How many of you know that you put your left leg in your pants before your right? Or your right leg before your left? How many of you brush your teeth with your right hand instead of the left? Okay, have you ever tried doing it the other way? Try it. It will drive you nuts. Why? We get in a rut. And we get into a habit of certain things. So Jesus coming to the temple was certainly a habit because he was a Jew. But in this case, why lash out? Why? Because he saw what was happening. When we come to this place, are you here intentionally or by habit? Is it something that you just do because this is what you do on Sunday morning? Or is it a place where you want to come to truly invigorate your spirit, your heart, to be fed? And so in Jesus, in this moment, he sees that this is becoming something rote. This is becoming something not to honor the temple, but to honor the people who were there. And that's what he was angry about. And we should be the same. There are things in our lives which need to be overturned. There are things about our faith which need to be uncovered. There are things that need to be pushed out to make room for other things in our lives. I talked a little bit about this on Ash Wednesday, the closet metaphor that I used on Ash Wednesday about cleaning out our closets, like Gayla was talking about our spring cleaning, right? There are some things that need to be pushed out of our lives so that we can fully receive the abundance that God has for us. But we get so stuck in our habits of just going through the motions that we don't think about it anymore. The two elements of worship that are always present in our services, of course, is the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. Now, if I were to ask anyone here, you could probably say the Lord's Prayer by memory, right? The Apostles' Creed, maybe. Now, have you ever really thought about what you're saying, though? Do you actually look at the words and as one of my seminary professors would say, inwardly digest what you are reading? Because it means something. And when it doesn't mean something and you're going through the motions, that's when things need to be overturned. That's when things need to be uplifted. But we get so stuck in doing the same thing over and over that we forget about what we're actually doing it for. And so this story is to be a reminder for us that we can't live our lives going along business as usual, taking those steps and going through the motions of our lives. But instead, when you turn on that water to make your coffee, pausing, oh, thank you, Lord, for clean water. When you put on put your left leg in before your right, or vice versa, thank you, Lord, for these clothes. When you get in your car, thank you, Lord, for a safe vehicle to get me from point A to point B. When you come into this worship space, thank you, Lord, for a place to worship you without division, without fear of being arrested. You know, there are some countries that if you sat in a worship space, you'd be jailed right now. In some countries. So the fact that you're sitting in a worship space on Sunday morning should be a humbling thing. It should be an opportunity for you to pause everything else that's going on in your life and say, I am going to dedicate my whole self to being present for God. And it's when you're not, when you're going through the motions of just being here in worship, and it becomes meaningless, that Jesus then comes and says, nope, turn that over. That's not what this is about. It's not about just me standing in the pulpit or walking around here in the center of the church and just saying a bunch of words. It means something. And if it doesn't, that's when things need to be overturned. This Lenten season is all about those things which need to be removed to make space so that you can then journey to the cross earnestly and wholly. And so this is a sign for us. It's a sign for us to be reminded of whose we are in Christ and the call and claim that has been embedded in us at our own baptism. And so today I want to invite you to take a look at your own lives. What are the things that need to be overturned in your life? What are the things that need to be driven out so that you can wholly make space for the one who gave up everything for you. You know, there are lots of things in life to be angry about. Lots. I get frustrated every day about something. It's how you respond to that anger that matters, right? There are some times when people get frustrated at me as a pastor about things. And they come talk to me about it. Now I can choose in that moment to lash out back at that person, smack them around a bit, or be reserved and say, you know what? I hear you. I know you're angry. Let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. Of course, when I was younger, I used my fist a lot. Unfortunately, I was known as a school bully. I'm not proud of that title. But it wasn't until one day when I'm walking home and I'm in sixth grade and I look behind me and there is a small group of fourth grade boys and girls that are following me home. I walk a little faster, they walk a little faster, and then more of them arrive. I walk a little faster, they walk a little faster. Pretty soon I'm being tackled in someone's front yard. And I am just getting, you know, they're throwing punches at me left and right. And I walk in home, limping, bruised, bloodied. And my mom just stands there and says, I told you this day would come. You know where the Band-Aids are. You know where the ice is. Clean yourself up. That was the end of my bullying days. And sometimes that's what it takes in our own spiritual life. When you get to a point where enough is enough, where you feel like you're at the bottom of your tank when it comes to your faith, and you can't quite figure out what needs to happen next, that's when you overturn that table and God says, let me in. Allow me to help you. Let's deepen your faith together. Let me walk with you. That's what God desires for us all. And so in this Lenten season, I invite you, overturn your tables. Drive out those things which need to be driven out. Because God desires to walk with you, to help you journey to the cross. Only then can you fully receive the abundance that God has in store for you. Amen.